am interviewing Delbert Hayward. It is Wednesday, October the 9th. We are at the apartment once again. we are going to be covering hopefully some more family and friends oriented stuff. And Edith is also joining us in the background if you should hear her. So let us begin. Could I start by asking you the name of your wife so that I have it?
Esther. Esther.
Could you tell me a little bit about her?
She's an Athabascan from Minto. Married in 96.
I'm sorry, did you say 96?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's my second wife. And,
So how long have you known her for?
Since 95.
What else? How about your children's names?
My oldest is Junior. And then I got a daughter. Yvonne, Y-V-O-N-E, Eloy, Leslie, how many is that?
That's four.
Chris.
Okay, cool. what are your children like? I mean, like, what have they been doing?
Rich is in, my oldest is in Mount Lakatla. He married a girl from there and they're divorced now, but they had two girls. Attending college here at the oldest is attending college down at the U of A in Juneau. His oldest girl. My boy is a heavy duty operator. He used to work for the mill down there, but that closed down. Now he's working at a bottling plant, water bottling plant there. My daughter, she's works for Fred Myers. Been with them for quite a long time. She's one of the section managers. Tom is a diesel mechanic. He lives in Seattle. He's been doing that now for, he's got his own business down there, so he works on marine boats, marine engines, diesel engines, doing quite well. Leslie is working for GBA, and he's in the diesel power plants. He works in the power plant there. Scott, we call him, I call him Scott. His name is Christopher. His middle name is Scott. He's attending chef school in Seattle. I forgot the name.
Well, don't worry about it.
Something arts. Culinary arts.
Culinary arts.
Yeah. That's all.
Do you stay in touch with them?
Yes, we stay in touch over the phone and the email. Like I do that with all my family and other sisters and former in-laws.
Actually, next I wanted to talk about some of your friends, perhaps from your past. I know my dad used to always talk about people as a whole, as college friends and stuff, so I was hoping we could. The truth is, I don't know really what to ask you about them.
Yeah, I kind of stay in contact with a lot of the friends that I had when I was attending electronics school. Parted ways there when I graduated from there back in 64 when I came up here. And a lot of them came up here as well from Alaska. We worked together for many years out there. Some of them broke loose maybe 5, maybe up to 10 years after we started work out at Gilmer Creek, satellite tracking station. But we've been staying in contact. Some of them are still up here in Fairbanks. Al Adams, he came out. He used to work out there. He broke out of that and got into state politics and went all the way up to a state senator. Retired all of that. There's another fellow schoolmate that went on all the way up into and went into politics. His name is Morris Thompson. He was in a plane crash, him and his wife and one of his girls a few years back. 3 or 4 years ago. He went up quite a long ways up the ladder in politics. He became head of the Bureau of Indian Affairs in one of the, under a cabinet member in the, one of the president. There was a Bureau of Indian Affairs that got the cabinet seat then. There was a former governor of the state that was head of that cabinet position. Morris Thompson had worked off and on with him during prior to that, achieving that level. His name was Governor Hickel. Asked Morris to take over the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Let's see. Those are the only two that I stayed in contact with. I've got others. There's a guy by the name of Jerry Evans. We got involved in boat racing a long time ago, right after we got on the job out here. We did a lot of riverboat racing, between here and down all the way to Carina back in the 70s. I participated in that for about 10 years. And he did as well, because we started out together. I was a crew member for him. And I broke off from him. Got my own, built my own boat. We all built our own boats back then. And a lot of my skills that I developed before going to school under my dad, you know, one of the things I developed with him was my boat building skills. And I used it up here when I got into boat racing. Passed a lot of that knowledge on to a lot of the boat races that are in there now. I got out of there back in 79, started in 69. So. A lot of fun.
Boat racing?
Yeah, I won the Yukon 800 twice.
What kind of boats did you guys race?
They're 24-foot long river boats. They're real low profile. They're about 4 foot wide. We carry three guys on there. And we traveled 800 miles with it. From Fairbanks down to Blaine and back. The round trip is 800 miles. You have to carry enough gas to make it one leg down and refuel that end. Mm-hmm. And those boats were, toward the end of my career, were breaking over 60 miles an hour with a 50 horse motor.
Wow.
Now they're doing over 70.
Wow, that's
improved over there. When I started, it was like 40, 50 miles an hour. 10 years of stay and improved that close to 60. High 50s, low 60s. And 79 when I got out there, ratcheted up almost another 10 miles an hour.
Huh.
So they're making the round trip in sub 12 hours.
When did you get into boat racing?
In 69.
Cool. So what about now? Like, I know you live in Fairbanks now.
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
I'm retired now. I've been retired since 98. All my kids are on their own now. They have their own homes and families. So I just me and my wife live in the house. We've been traveling a lot. I bought a big dually Dodge truck. Put a big camper on it, 11 foot camper, or 10 and a half foot camper, all bells and whistles on it. Had shower and it had a heating system, hot and cold running water, refrigerator, you know, just everything, big double bed. We did a lot of traveling. I took my grandchildren down to the first trip. We took them down to Disneyland in California.
And you drove?
Two of my grandkids. Yeah.
Did you drive from here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's quite a trip.
Yeah. Well, we made several trips like that. That was probably the second longest one. I think that one was 9,000-10,000 miles. Yeah, the first one we took was 13,000. We went down to South Dakota and visit one of my wife's daughters down there. She married to a Sioux Indian from South Dakota, Carthage. And visit with her for about a week, and then went further down to Oklahoma. It was one of my sisters, my younger sister down there. She married to some Indians from down there, and been down there for quite a few years. Slowed up, been up here for quite a few years in Fairbanks, but she's pretty much called it her home now down in Lawton, Oklahoma. I visited with her for about 3-4 days, and we rendezvoused with another daughter of my wife in New Mexico. Shot across in Oklahoma, rendezvoused in Gallup, New Mexico. And they were coming across the state. They flew in from Hawaii because her husband was stationed out there in the military. And they were moving to Louisiana, so we met there at Gallup, New Mexico. Spent about 2 days together there. Then we shot up all the way back to here. And that was over 30, almost about a month trip.
Wow.
And I've made a lot of trips back home where I was born and raised down in Mount Carmel, with it driving down there. Alpine Highway, and I caught the Cashier Highway down to Prince Rupert, and I took the ferry across. It was only about 6-7 hours by ferry from Rupert to Ketchikan, and an hour and a half from Ketchikan to Mount Carmel. So I took my camper all the way there, just living it, you know. Spent a couple weeks there and come back the same way. In other trips, I've come by way of Haines down the ferry now to home about 2 or 3 times. Now it's just like retired. So all in all, I think I put in about 90,000 miles.
Yeah, wow.
I bought that rig new, and that's a diesel rig, so quite economical.
Enough to go all the way around the earth like 3 or 4 times.
That was just in like 3 or 4 years.
That's really cool. Yeah. Wow.
So that's kind of, that's kind of what we do now. Just travel a lot.
Have you developed any hobbies since you retired?
I'm into the futures market.
Futures
market, yeah. We're dealing contracts in the commodities market. Buy and sell contracts. And I've been doing that for about 4 years now. Pretty interesting. I learned a lot about the economic system on the local level, state, national level, and international level, all these different sectors of the economic system, how they are integrated, and how they just keep pushing and pulling and pulling, and all the things that come along affect the ebb and flow of all these different markets. And we kind of base our buying and selling on the way these things interact with each other. It's been a big learning process. I was really still fascinated. I've learned a lot about the economic system in the 4 years I've been in there. Probably 10 times the amount of information I ever knew up to that point. Mm-hmm. And I discovered things that some is fascinating, some alarming, you know, just the way our system, economic system works. Gain a lot of knowledge in that area.
Cool. Yeah, that's something I know very little about.
Well, it's not a common field, you know, of investment and speculation, I think it's called. You know, it's actually gambling in that, you know, big contracts. You're talking about, you know, big money. Certainly way beyond, you know, the normal level of people that work. You know. You're bumping heads with a lot of these big, you know, these big movers, so these guys that have a big influence on the market. You're not doing what they're doing, you're just kind of trying to see what direction they push the market. You know. You manipulate the market. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that. That itself is a big education. And I think something that you guys should know about, everybody should know about, especially that, you know, just how the whole system works, because it's going to have a high impact on your lives, and if you understand it and know what to do, position yourself in it, you know, there's come a time that it's, the analysts that we depend on that analyze the market. Some of these guys, this one guy, he's been in for over 30 years, and he's well versed in it. And the 4 years that I've been in it now, all the things that he predicted that would happen, you know, at the start of the 4 years I got involved, have come to pass. And based on the knowledge that he gives us like that, he's, you know, we buy and sell and trade based on his knowledge, and at the same time I learn. You know, stocks and the money market, you know, the yen, the pound, euro, you know, all those kind of markets, cash market. We also deal in precious metals, we deal in the stock market, like you normally do, you know, you get involved in the stock market, but they've got commodities in the indices, they call it. That's the stock market. So you got to learn how to, in each one of those, you know, react differently depending on what the current events are going to have, you know, the effects, you know, like the Iraqi war, and some of those things have a real profound effect. The hurricanes, you know, those two hurricanes that just hit. Now we're monitoring it now, and this new hurricane that's down in the Gulf right now.
Yeah, the Wilma one, the one that's going towards Florida, I think.
Yeah, we're paying attention to that. And it's, for me personally, it's going to determine when I should get back in the game. I'm out of it right now. I'm too small of an operator. And my account hasn't built up high enough so I can just continue getting involved in all these different commodities. I'm waiting for some change in the gold market right now. That's because it's smaller, they're a little smaller contracts. The oil market, that's three or four times. Price of those contracts, you know, three or four times of what's in the contract in gold. Mm-hmm. So I have to start, you know, something small that I can have.
Well, that's all very interesting, but I don't really have any more questions to ask you. So, you want to call it a day?
Okay.
Okay. Bye.